Hey everybody, it's your man Headcrack, and this is the Dish Nation Podcast or Audio Boom. It's all the funny stuff for the TV show, but exclusively for your listening pleasure. Right here, we got the ATL team in the building. Clap it up one time. Yeah.
Hey y'all, it's Portia Williams, and we slay all day.
Hey, what up? This your boy, Ricky Smiley, man. Hey, welcome to Dish Nation, and we got jokes. That's right, S-E-K-O-J, spelled backwards.
Yo, yo, what up? It's your girl, the B-R-A-T-U-D.
And you got Gary with the tea here, baby, where everything is hot in my teapot.
Now that's it for ATL. Now over to LA. What up?
Thank you, Headcrack. I'm Frank Kramer representing the left coast.
What's up, guys? It's Heidi Hamilton, and welcome to the Dish Nation party.
Now that's our team. Now on to what you've already been waiting for. What you really want. Your show. Here you go.
For more dishes, our girl Eva Marcille,
yeah.
And of course we have Heidi and Frank live with us from Los Angeles.
Hello.
Hey guys,
what's good up? To see you. Looking good, bro.
Later on, we have the amazing Wendy Williams right here in the studio dishing with us. Plus, Andrew Freund is dishing with Mark Wahlberg and Ronda Rousey about their brand new movie. But first, Heidi, what you got?
Well, Serena Williams is dishing about the struggles of being a new mom. She's on the cover of Time magazine, and she did an interview where she talked about she had to sacrifice a motherly connection with her daughter because her tennis coach told her that she should stop breastfeeding to help herself conquer the court.
Well, the thing about breastfeeding is when you breastfeed, your boobs get used to basically lactate every 2 hours.
So is he right? Are you saying that he's probably right in his advice to her?
Unless she's doing, you know, an hour and 20-minute workout segments, then I think if she's training to be the champion that she is again, then yeah, you got to put...
And Ava, don't you get engorged too?
Yeah.
Don't you get engorged where they actually hurt? So you think if you're going to do a
hurt
serve or a follow through and you're big.
Yeah.
Don't fart.
I think this was literally just a case of where he may have had a message that could have been helpful, but he probably should have had a woman coach
that's right,
her.
Portia.
Okay. Someone else. That's all. You and your penis, we don't want to hear about it.
I think
it.
A female coach would have probably told her the same thing.
Who here has tasted breast milk as an adult?
Me?
As
an adult?
I tasted my sister's breast milk.
Okay.
I just wanted to taste
from the
it.
Tap?
I was like, yeah, she was like, no, not from the tap. But I tasted it. It was a little smoky because she was towards the end of her breastfeeding. So when I tasted it, I was like, it's a little smoky.
Smoky?
Yeah, it was like some like smoky, you know, flavored eggnog, like on a cold winter day.
She should market that.
Yeah,
right.
She should.
I never thought I would want some of Lauren's breast milk.
You made us thirsty, like, really?
Well, Pete Davidson clearly believes in love at first sight. He sat down with GQ magazine for the September issue, and they talked to him about his fiance, Ariana Grande. Now, during the interview, Davidson said he knew the singer was the one and proposed shortly after meeting her. He stated, "The day I met her, I was like, hey, I'll marry you tomorrow."
Whoa, my kind of man.
But he's doing it like, see, am I being serious? And then eventually got in there as far as getting to know you. And shortly after that, they're engaged.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. That man knew what he wanted.
He literally shot his shot and won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're telling me a guy can meet you for the first time and go, I'm going to marry you. I will marry you tomorrow. And you will?
No.
I won't marry him literally tomorrow, but my boyfriend told me he loved me on the first day that we, like, met. And he meant it.
Of course, if I was looking at you, I would tell you I love you, too.
Moving on, this is Thirst Trapping at its finest. A woman went viral on Twitter after posting text messages and bragging about trapping pro athletes by getting pregnant and using the child support money to buy Gucci and jewelry. Now the text messages she posted was supposedly conversations from an anonymous football player with him asking her what she does with the child support money she's receiving. Take a look.
Hey everyone, it's Toxic, so I know a lot of you guys were wondering what was I gonna do with my child support money, so I wanted to show you. Come. So this is what we're going to do. Here, this is a car that I decided to get. So, yes, ladies, make sure you get that child support check.
Well, not everybody was feeling what she had to say, and she started getting blasted, and then she recanted by saying it was all a joke.
I think I'm just angry for women in general. Like, this pisses me off.
But that's are we even sure it's his?
Right. She's not even for real, y'all. First of all, this chick is straight up looking for attention. Like, because if she was really smart and about her coin, she would have kept it, or she would have kept it all the way quiet.
Put well, that's true, too, Gucci.
Okay, put them in some fake Gucci and Poochie and whatever else.
Mm-hmm. Fluchie.
And Fluchie and act like she's spending the money on the kids. No, she acted like she didn't know how to get into a Ferrari. It's an infinity.
This is why the rules on child support are never going to change. Because, see, if the father of the baby is responsible, then he has to pay for the infinity. And she can do whatever she wants. But if all of a sudden we're all responsible for this woman and her child, we'd all be auditing her and make sure it's all about diapers and baby bottles and child support.
Yeah, it should go into
a trust. Child support Patty would be on the phone calling.
Yeah, child support Patty would be all over.
Hello, my name is Sarah Jessica, and there is a black girl out here buying cars with child support money from my father money.
Mm-hmm. I would have got her a car where the brakes were optional.
All right, well, we're going to be back later in the show to talk to our friend Andrew Freund about his conversation with Mark Wahlberg and Ronda Rousey. So bye for now, Atlanta.
See you later.
Well, guys, it's been almost 3 months since Meghan Markle became the Duchess of Sussex, and her dad, Thomas Markle, hasn't stopped talking about her yet.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. He's a kid, right?
That could be nice, too. Well, it seems that the family feud may have been brewing over the last 7 years.
What?
Between Meghan and her dad. And in 2011, he was a no-show for, guess what? Her first wedding.
Oh.
Right. So this is the second wedding that he's missing. So do y'all think that Meghan should actually mend the fences with her dad, or should she keep it a broken relationship?
I think she should reach out. I had a, my dad has always been in my life, and me and my dad got into a little tiff, and we weren't really cool for a few years, and my dad had a stroke. And now my dad can't talk. Mm. And I only imagine, like, had we talked before and tried to mend it, like, I am 200,000% on figuring that out.
Yeah.
That's your daddy.
It's cool for them to get it worked out, but he need to stop doing dumb He keeps doing dumb thing after dumb thing after dumb thing. Like, if he wants to mend it, he needs to start going in the right direction, saying, you know what, or just fall back, disappear for a minute.
Right.
And then try to talk to her.
Okay, now you get married, so you know. You invite your family member to the wedding, you pay for their plate of food, and they don't show up. Would you be upset with them?
They not invited to Christmas.
It depends how big your family is, because it gets to a point where it's like, well, how well do we know this cousin?
Right.
Costing too much.
Like, you try to go down the bloodline. Is that really my cousin?
You have to bring your kids.
Twice. No kids.
All seven. Black folks bring too many. Kids. I bet all her black side was at the wedding.
All of them.
That's not your first wife. You can't bring her. We don't know them like that.
All right, y'all. So Dancing with the Stars is coming back soon, and this season they will have celebrity kids as contestants.
Ooh. What?
Yes, Lord. Dancing with the Stars Juniors has already allegedly cast 12-year-old Honey Boo Boo, 13-year-old Miles Brown from Black-ish, and NBA great Scottie Pippen's 9-year-old daughter, Sophia. They're going to make $50,000 just for showing up, and the winner can make up to $130,000. Cha-ching. Hey, that's a lot of money.
So, Eva, would you sign your daughter up for Dancing with the Stars?
Absolutely not. Not as a child.
Right.
The amount as a junior. Of pressure that competitions like this put on a kid.
Wait, Eva, but did you hear the part about the $50,000 just for signing up? Okay. And then $130,000.
It's good exercise. But the pressure, because, you know, the truth about it, either you win or you lose.
But see, these kids have already faced adversities, though.
Yeah.
I mean, Honey Boo Boo got talked about for being big and little and country and ratchet and all kinds of stuff. So they've already, like, been through it.
And
why I feel like Honey Boo Boo going to Tanya Harden? The Larson little girl.
No, that would be Mama June.
She's going to hurt that little girl.
That's going to be Mama June in the back.
She's going to knock her knees out.
She gonna hurt one of the other girls?
She gonna hurt one of the other girls, because she play hardcore now.
She's a coach.
No.
It'd be like the first time in Dancing with the Stars
her
history.
Partner.
Partners keep getting injured.
Stop it.
Like on Showgirls when you push her down them stairs and she came tumbling down.
Oh, y'all
down.
Ain't right.
Coming up next, the queen of all media, Wendy Williams, is going to be here to talk about the new season of the show and a whole lot more right after this.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Dish Nation. It's a woman who's the reigning queen of daytime talk television. Ladies and gentlemen, she hanging out with us. One time for Wendy Williams.
Yay! Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Can we put the dime in the air one time? Like 10 years, Wendy?
Yeah. Look, when we started, we were a six-week trial test in four cities, New York, L.A., Detroit, and Dallas. And if we failed the trial, then we would not get a first season. So when we got the first season, they only signed me on for one season at 8 times.
It was an interesting time in the whole, like, talk business at the time, because you had a lot of people out there, but nobody was dangerous.
Yeah.
Now, as a person who listened to you on the radio in New York City.
Dangerous.
Dangerous. That's a good way of putting it, because that's why I didn't think that we would last.
You weren't as bad at first when you first started, but then you got worse and a little more dangerous.
Did you have to battle with yourself trying to figure out the alchemy of it all? Because, like, I would imagine there was a lot of people who were scared to come on your show.
She had to battle with herself. She knew she was going to tear people to shreds.
She
used to make me scared.
Oh, brat.
Back when I was, you know, starting out. You would be scared to go to Wendy Williams' radio show. You would.
Did y'all ever have a weird interaction
on
there?
No, she would just make you feel like every time. You would feel like you're not... You would be so scared to go to, especially as a new artist, because you hear all these things, Wendy is going
to
tear you
down.
But
if you came to New York, you had to come through.
You had to come through. That's how she made it. You know what I'm saying? Those are the standards she set. And I went, and I did one thing or said something wrong, and I will never forget. She was like, Columbia, learn how to train your new artist. It was like, mean.
It was tough,
but it
love.
Was helpful. Yeah, yeah.
Tough love.
Yeah.
I saw this one thing online the other day. It was like a thing about conspiracies, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were saying that you're actually a clone. And when you fainted last season on your show, it was the clone malfunctioned.
And then I got up because I was a clone and finished out the show. No, I'm not a clone. I'm a thoroughbred. I'm good at what I do.
Indeed.
I was very dehydrated and my thyroid medication was way off. And there were a cacophony of stuff going on regarding health. Silly stuff that I could have taken care of myself. But, you know, as women, sometimes we're so busy taking care of other people, we forget ourselves.
Preach.
So, I drank that water. I was like, I'm going to show these kids how it's done.
Nice.
And I came right back out and closed out the show.
Has there ever been, like, a celebrity or a guest where, like, you feel like maybe you went a little heavy-handed with them and then you, like, watched it later and be like, oh, wow, maybe that was a little aggressive?
No.
I know you see me signaling the plane.
I know. DeBrat, no. Because here we are right now.
I want to try to do a lightning round hot topic with you real quick. You have like 7 seconds to pontificate about the things I throw out there.
Okay.
What's your take on this Nicki and Safari thing?
I mean, I didn't know that he was getting with hookers and stole money from her and stuff like that. Otherwise, I was holding out that they'd get back together because her music was better when she was with him and he was doing the writing.
Okay. Tiana Taylor, she just jumped off the whole Jeremiah tour. Felt like she was being unfairly treated and wasn't getting water.
You know, if you're on a tour and you're not getting water, then you politely say, where's the water? Like, the whole diva thing. Like, because I'm a thoroughbred and because I still politely, you know, can I have a water?
Right. Oh,
room temperature or cold, it doesn't matter.
Right.
I was over at Fox just a moment ago when the lady asked me, does she want me to open the water? I said, no, thank you. No, thank you. So I have no idea. Tiana Taylor could have used that look, though, and I like her.
The dude was leaving water on the stage, not treating everybody fair. And
oh, Jeremiah.
He was playing her.
Oh.
Yo, shout out to your first act, which was radio. Shout out to your second act, which is season 10 of The Wendy Williams Show, which premieres again on September 10th.
Yay.
If you had to explain to people as the elevator door was closing why they should watch this season, what would you say?
Me. Still funny, still fearless, which always makes for fun. We're not changing anything. Stop staring at me like that. We're not changing the studio.
I love Brat.
I love Brat.
And I love Wendy.
Today.
Today.
Tomorrow could be
just
totally
right
different
now.
Story.
Brat. Tomorrow, different story.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Wendy Williams is in the house, and she'll be in your house on TV September 10th for season 10. One time, y'all, Wendy Williams.
Thank you. Thank you.
Dish Nation. We already know you love Dish Nation, so check out our podcast partners. Laughs Uncut brings you America's funniest stand-up comedians. Top 30 breaks down today's top 30 stories in 30 fast-paced minutes. And Divorce Court takes you into real-life courtroom battles to experience relationship drama firsthand. Find, listen, and subscribe. Now back to the show.
Dish Nation.
Welcome back to Dish Nation. We have our friend Andrew Freund with us in the studio.
It's been so long.
Look at—he's here.
Yeah, right there he is. I know.
I'm right here.
I didn't think he was real after a while. Like, so what do you have for us today?
So now I sat down with my best friend, as you know, Mark Wahlberg, to talk about
NBD.
Yeah, uh-huh. Marky Mark. We go way back. To talk about his new film, Mile 22.
Oh, all right. It looks good.
Yeah, I sat down with them, so let's take a look.
According to the government, we do not exist, but we're very real.
Mark.
Yes?
Talk to me about your commute from hell in this. Why is this the commute from hell?
It's one of those things where we think this walk-in to our embassy has valuable information that could prevent terrorist attacks, but we've got to get him from point A to point B. And my character is the kind of character who lives for this, you know? He's the lighthouse. He's lit all the time. Once we step on the gas, we don't let off until the end. We are Overwatch, and we get things done.
All right, first I want to ask Rhonda, because you're an athlete, but now you've been in this Hollywood world for a while now, but have you gone Hollywood? Are you, you know, do I have to bring you Evian instead of tap water?
If that's your definition of going Hollywood, no. I'm pretty sure a goat pissed on my foot this morning and a chicken pooped on me yesterday. So no going Hollywood yet.
Are you living on Noah's Ark? Where are you living?
I'm living on Browsy Acres, man.
Okay, talk to me why this film is the commute from hell.
Imagine 22 miles is a long way to go in just LA traffic, right? Now imagine if everyone in LA was also trying to kill you while going through that.
Not good.
Roughly it.
Kind of.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Get it? Now let's talk about a year ago, you put me in the Spice Boys.
We need to drop a new album.
I need to know, where's my endorsement deals, Mark? I'm like, where's the check?
You know what? Well, let me first apologize, because as a manager, I haven't been as focused as I should be.
But when am I getting a check? When's the money?
Oh, it's all just about the check. I want no art, huh?
But let's go back to that Spice Boys concert. When is that happening, and where are my tickets? I need four.
Yeah, so as you know, I am a member of the Spice Boys.
You're Coriander.
I am Coriander.
Sorry, we're out of time.
I wanted to be Basil. I thought I was a little basil.
And I'm an alternate. I'm Cinnamon.
You're Old Spice. All right, well, thank you, Andrew, for hanging out with us. We always love when you're
always
here.
Always fun.
And coming up, there is a new viral video challenge that will have you falling on the floor with laughter. We'll explain in a little bit.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
Welcome back to Dish Nation.
Hey, what's up?
There's a new challenge on the horizon, and it's got everybody falling out, literally.
Uh-oh.
Now, the challenge is called Falling Stars, which began in Russia and has been getting popular recently in the past couple days. The challenge invites participants to share their best fake fall and nominate their friends and followers to do the exact same thing. Now, people have been going to extreme lengths to make their tumbles as dramatic as possible.
Coming out of Russia, that is not how I expected those pictures to look. In my head, I expected to see wool coats, like it's snow. Like, right. I know it's August, but still.
Right, that looked like LA.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is cute. Now, I thought it was like something like Jackass,
yes,
where they
right.
are videoing themselves falling, and, you know, right. then they can get hurt. But I don't think you can get hurt with
like
that.
Like the Kiki challenge.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Like, so would y'all do this challenge? Would y'all take a picture?
If somebody followed me long enough during the day, they would, like, have a legitimate photo of me falling, stumbling out of something.
You don't seem like you are clumsy like that.
Every now and then, my legs turn into ramen. I just forget how to walk.
I'm like that. I'm super clumsy, especially for a woman.
Okay, so then y'all are going to do it then. Y'all going to do the challenge, and y'all going to send us the picture.
Yeah.
And so we can post it and see how y'all
rank. I want to go to your mansion and act like I'm falling down your stairs.
Oh, yes, girl. Come on.
Uh-uh, girl. She might sue you. That's proof.
Uh-uh, yeah.
You got the wrong friend.
Thanks for checking out Dish Nation on Audio Boom. Make sure you listen to any episodes you may have missed. They're right down below, or maybe they're over there. Just scroll up. Look, you'll find it. If you like what you heard, share it with your friends. Even share it with your enemies. Either way, share it.